All right, well, good morning. Might have a little too much volume here, Brandon. Maybe just a tad too much. So this morning, I'll introduce, just get your thoughts on it before we dive into the scriptures. So this is our subject for today. The priesthood. So, actually, it was mentioned down here about a particular religion that has priests. Roman Catholicism has a priest. What do you know about that? The priesthood in Roman Catholicism. Give me a little bit about how that works. If you're an ex-Catholic, you could really give us some insight. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. A Catholic goes to the priest to confess their sins. And I've never done this, I'm just going on what I've heard, but you go to the priest, confess your sins. Number one, he's finding out a lot about you that he probably shouldn't know, don't you think? Number two, he gives you a means of atonement or cleansing. And does anybody know what that usually involves? Saying the rosary, so many Hail Marys, and he gives you the formula. I guess the way it works, you go in there and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." Interesting that the priest is called Father. What did Jesus say about that? And he said it referring to religious titles. You can look at that in context. He said, "Call man, no man on earth Father." One preacher said, he was preaching that, he said, "You're not supposed to call any religious leader father." He said, a little boy said, "Well, what am I supposed to call my actual father? I can't call him father." And he says, "Well, no, you call him daddy." Just kidding, anyway. So, nobody got that. So, another word for father. You can call your real father a father. Just don't call anybody father in a religious sense, all right? So, what else about a Catholic priest? What else do they do? Don't they serve in this role? Mediator? They are, in that religion, the go-between from man to God. That's who you go to. It's kind of scary, isn't it? All right, what else about Catholic priests? And by the way, we're going to look at the priesthood in the Bible. Reminder, anything in your Bible, you can expect anything pure and right according to your Bible. You can expect the devil to do what with it? Corrupt it. But make it appear as if it's good and right. So, anything else about the priesthood and Roman Catholicism? Anything else? What do they wear, by the way? They wear all black. You ever notice that? Except for a couple of different people. You have, in the Catholicism, you have the College of Cardinals. What do they wear? They wear red, and they are, follow me here, they are some strange birds. And then you have one fella in that religion who wears all white. You ever notice that? He's the only guy that wears all white. Who is it? It's the Pope. Isn't that interesting? What do they wear? I would think black, yeah. Okay. Your local Catholic priest at a church wears black, that's a little tie, that whatever you call that thing, that's white. But, yeah, I find that very interesting. Anything else about the priesthood of Roman Catholicism? Anything else you think of? Every week, in fact, if you've been to a Catholic church, just about, I've only been to a handful, but everyone I've been into, right up here, they'll have a cross with Jesus on the cross. And let's give them a little credit. At least it fits what they teach in that Jesus Christ has to be sacrificed. In some churches, every day they have the mass. What's a mass? Short for massacre? They have the mass every day where a person in Catholicism really has to go on the regular to have partake of that mass so that their sins can be taken away. So they continually crucify Jesus Christ. How many times did Jesus Christ have to die? once for all. The book of Hebrews says that. Okay, anything else about the priesthood? So I called this originally two lines of priests. If we included the false line of priests, which I'll say a few words about, you could call it three lines. But I want to look at two different lines of priests in the Bible. So if you would, let's go to Genesis 14 to start. Genesis chapter 14, two lines of priests. So if you've been with us on our Sunday night Bible studies with Bible study principles, we've talked about the principle of first mention. Y'all remember that one? And what you do is you look and see the first time a word is found in the Bible from the beginning. And most of these are in Genesis that you find as far as first mentions. But I looked at the word priest and I found the first mention right here in Genesis 14. And this is very telling, as all of your principles, all of your first mentions are. So look down there at Genesis 14, look at verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, it's Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Verse 18 is where I'm at, Genesis 14. And look who shows up. And, what's the guy's name? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the what? Priest of the Most High God. One of the most interesting characters in your Bible is this fellow right here. Now, we do not have enough time in Sunday school. In fact, we could take the next couple of hours. And we could go around and talk about the identity of Melchizedek. Guess what I'm going to tell you about who Melchizedek is? You know who Melchizedek is? Melchizedek. That's who he is. People try to make him a bunch of other things, and I have tried. It's been years since I've tried, but gone round and round trying to figure out, is he a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ? He might be, but actually I kind of lean towards no, and if we have time, I'll show you a little bit about that. But this guy shows up, and he's the first priest in the Bible, and you want to notice something. What is he called right off the bat? Priest of, what's he called? Priest of the Most High God. So is he a good priest? Obviously he is. Read a little bit more about this fella, and then we'll go to the New Testament to get a little more light on this guy. So look what else happens here. Verse 19, and he blessed him. That's Melchizedek blessing Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And watch this. And he gave him tithes of all. So I believe that's the first mention of tithes in the Bible. And who gave who a tithe? Anybody see that? It's Abraham giving Melchizedek the tithe. Anybody know what a tithe is? If you don't know, you should know. Yeah, a tithe is a tenth. So a tenth of $100 would be what? $10. So this is the first mention of tithe, and this tithe is given to a priest. But this is no ordinary priest. This is the priest of the Most High God. Notice a couple things about this fellow, and we don't have time to chase this morning. You can take a look at this on your own. But in verse 18, Melchizedek, first off, what's he the king of? Okay, that's very important. This guy is not only a priest, he's also a king. Now, can you think of a place in the world now, mentioned a number of times in your Bible, that has, at the end of it, S-A-L-E-M. Aha! You ever notice that? One guy pointed out something kind of unique about that word Jerusalem, that name. Look what's right in the middle of it. And the guy was saying, as long as the USA blesses the nation of Israel, we will be blessed. And he's going back to Genesis 12 for that. Now, there's obviously something to that. Kind of interesting. But Salem is in that word. So he's a king. Now, you want to get this. This fella is a king, and he's also a priest. And not just any priest, but priest of the Most High God. But look at verse 18, and notice it says he brought forth two different things. What does it say? Bread and wine. Does that sound familiar? Why does that sound familiar to you? Now, you remember in your Bible, when you see wine, it's not every time. In fact, most time it's not alcoholic. What is wine in your Bible a lot of the time? Anybody know? It's grape juice. In fact, what is wine anyway? It's grape juice that has fermented and become corrupt. So, what do you know about... communion, the Lord's Supper. Interesting how that shows up way back, long before Jesus Christ, and it's with this guy Melchizedek. So, let's get a little bit more on this fellow Melchizedek. Go to Hebrews 7, first priest in the Bible. He's the right kind of priest. He's the priest of the Most High God. Go to Hebrews 7. Now, another Bible study principle we had first mentioned. Another one is cross-referencing. Going to one scripture and then to another scripture, putting those together so you get a lot of truth when you put them together. So, I found out a few things about Melchizedek in Genesis 14. I can go to the New Testament and find even more. So, Hebrews 7. And look who shows up in verse 1. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Okay, so nothing new there. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So isn't that interesting? What did Genesis 14 say Abraham gave him? A tithe. What is a tithe according to the Bible when you compare? Kenny nailed it. A tithe in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it interprets it for you. What's a tithe? A tenth, so you don't have to run anywhere other than the Bible to find out what a tithe is. It interprets itself. So verse 2 again. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Man, we got not just king of Salem, but what else is he a king of? Now, what you're going to find out about this guy, Melchizedek, is he has a lot in common with Jesus Christ. But there's a problem as to why I believe he cannot be a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Although he is definitely connected somehow. But real quick here, we got King of Righteousness, King of Peace. Go on to verse 3. Let's see what else we get. Verse 3 says something very interesting. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now, there's a lot in that verse that seems to connect him with Jesus Christ, especially when you look at without descent. Where did Jesus Christ come from? In the beginning was the Word, right? So you can't nail down a beginning, but you can nail down something about the earthly life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does have a mother, yes. So, and then it says here, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, and I understand Jesus Christ is eternal, but he also did die, and he rose again, obviously, but there's some things here that kind of rub me to where I don't know if it matches completely. And if you disagree, that's fine. This guy, I'm not going to say definitively about him and Jesus Christ because I don't know. But a really interesting fellow to study. But in that verse, you find some interesting things. No mother, no father, no descent, no beginning of days, no end of life. And it says here, now watch the end of this, made like unto the Son of God. Like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Notice the capital S on that verse, by the way. Capital S, Son of God. So that's obviously some kind of connection with Jesus Christ. But again, can't really nail that thing down. So a lot of things here about Melchizedek being a priest. So there is the first line. Now, I'm going to erase all this, but we're going to come back to this guy. So, better get a picture there, Miss Gloria, if you want it. But this guy is a guy you could study hours on end, and he kind of just leaves you baffled. But he sure is a fun guy to study. Melchizedek. So, Genesis and then Hebrews, you find out a little bit more about him. So, there's the first line of priests. Would you say it's a good line? Of course it is. There's some kind of connection. I don't want to discount this. There is some kind of connection with this guy in Jesus Christ. I just can't, in my own mind, nail it down specifically. But there's something going on there with Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. So, there's the first line of priests. Let's look at number two. Let's go to Exodus 28. Back to your Old Testament here. I'll make it work. Exodus 28. Now, you might be wondering, man, why are you going to all this Old Testament stuff? I mean, do we really need to know anything about the priest today? Yeah, you do. And by the end of the lesson, Lord willing, we'll get to some practical things about this. But we got to get a little background first. Exodus chapter 28. I should have had you keep your finger in Hebrews. We're going to be back there. So you might want to find Hebrews 5, and then we'll be back in another place in Hebrews. So Exodus 28, and then we'll hop back to the New Testament here. So look at Exodus 28, verse 1 to start with. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother. Now this is God talking to Moses. And his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the what? The priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, who am filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Okay, so here is the second one, the line of Aaron. Now, right off the bat, you probably see a difference in, if you know a little, there's a huge difference in the line of Aaron and the line of Melchizedek. Melchizedek has no mother or father. A specific tribe of Israel that he is from. Anybody know what that is? Of Levi. So, in your Bible, the tribe of Levi, these are the guys who are the priests in the Old Testament. Now, you had one high priest, and then that high priest had his sons who were the helpers in the service of the tabernacle or the temple. So, the tribe of Levi is the God-ordained tribe that would minister in the tabernacle and then until they got the temple. Those are the guys that are supposed to do that. So, let's go over back to the New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. A little bit more on the priesthood of Aaron. There was a problem with the priesthood of Aaron. And your Bible will tell you this. It mentioned, actually, this is something to chase on your own. It mentioned these two fellas as sons of Aaron back in Exodus. Anybody know anything about these two fellas? Nadab and Abihu? They were not good. You remember what happened? The Lord killed them. They had strange fire before the Lord. Basically, they did not follow the specific instructions of what they were supposed to do as far as offering sacrifices. And the Lord killed them for that. So, right off the bat, you got Aaron the high priest, you got his two sons, and they're corrupt. So, even though this is a God-ordained line of the priesthood, there was a problem with it. And Hebrews 5 is going to tell you even more of a problem with it. Look at this. Hebrews 5, start there in verse 1. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Okay, there's the job of the priest in the Old Testament. But watch something here. Verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Okay, you see that right there? He himself is also is compassed with infirmity. Y'all know what infirmity is? We talked about this word not too long ago. What is an infirmity, anybody? You usually think of sickness or weaknesses. What was the biggest weakness of any man from the tribe of Levi or any man, period? What was his biggest weakness? Huh? They were sinners. They were sinners. So here you have an earthly priest. Any of these fellows from the tribe of Levi, the biggest problem they had was they themselves were sinners. So as a result of that, look what verse 3 says. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for who? Himself to offer for sins. So you know what any of these sons of Aaron and Aaron himself, you know what they had to do before they could offer any sacrifices for the people? What did they have to do? They had to offer a sacrifice for themselves. They had to be clean in order to offer a sacrifice for before God so that others could be cleansed. That's the way it was set up. So I know that this is the God-ordained line, but there's a problem with it. They continually had to offer sacrifices for themselves. They continually had to offer sacrifices for the people who came to them confessing their sins. And this kind of goes along with the morning message. The thing that they had to offer before God to get cleansed was what? Don't miss this. What was it that had to be offered before God for anybody to be cleansed of their sins in the Old Testament? What's that? Sacrifice, more specifically, an animal, more specifically, the blood had to be shed. The blood was what's offered to God, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You cannot discount the importance of that blood, even in the Old Testament. Okay, let's go on here. Verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Okay, so stop right here for just a minute. And I want to show you, we've got the line of Melchizedek. We haven't found anything wrong with that one yet. And you'll find that we won't. This one, there's a problem with it. Because all of these priests, first, they could offer up sacrifices for other people. So there's the second line, the line of Aaron. Even though it's a God-ordained line, it's something that cannot forever be in place because it's continually going to be a sacrifice being offered. Does that make sense? So let's chase this one for a second. This will be number 3. There's one that's really, really messed up even more than this. So go to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. We'll be back in Hebrews 7 in a minute, so you might want to keep a finger. 2 Chronicles. So this goes along with where we started talking about Catholicism. Anything that God sets up, man will take it and mess with it. So 2 Chronicles chapter 13, you find something real interesting here. Look at a couple places here. Talking about a third line of priests. And this line actually is not one line, it's many lines, but we'll give it a name here in just a minute. Look at 2 Chronicles 13, verse 8. This is back in verse 4, this prophet Abijah starts preaching to the people. And he says down there in verse 8, "And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for God." Y'all remember this whole thing where Jeroboam made these two calves, and what he didn't want the people to do, he didn't want them to go down to Jerusalem to sacrifice, because Jerusalem was in the south. He didn't want them to go down there to that southern kingdom. He wanted them to stay in the north, so he set up these false gods for them. So look at verse 9. "Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord?" Who are the priests of the Lord? "The sons of Aaron and the Levites." Now watch this. "And have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and 7 rams, the same may be a priest of them that are what? No gods." So let's give this one a name here. These are the false priests. So you see here, Jeroboam sets up people to be priests who are not from the tribe of Levi. Therefore, they can't be the real deal. They got to be the false priests. So let's get some specific false priests. By the way, these number in the hundreds, if not the thousands, today and over the years. Go to 2 Chronicles 23. 2 Chronicles 23. Now, I'll show you this one. And it actually pops up a few times in your Old Testament, but you'll see it this one time at least. 2 Chronicles 23, Look at verse 16. There's a good king here. His name's Jehoiada. And look what this fella does here. 2 Chronicles 23, look at verse 16. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. So that's a good thing. Then look at verse 17. Then all the people went to the house of who? Baal. And break it down. And break his altars and his images in pieces. And slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing, with singing, as it was ordained by David. So there's the good priests, they're the better priests, the Levites. But the bad ones there are, these are priests who? Priests of Baal. False god. Why would they actually have a title for the religious leader in a false religion? Why would they call it the same thing that it would be in Christianity? Well, not in Christianity, but in Judaism in the Old Testament. Why would they call it that? Why do you think they would call it that? What's that? Copycats. Go a little further. The devil loves to take things that he knows are pure and right and corrupt them, but make people think that they are following the pure and right way. Okay, so she mentioned, Miss Anna mentioned her friend who's a Catholic. They think they're on the right path, don't they? And it has all the looks of being the right path. I mean, they've got, I would say Jesus, but it's another Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. He's got to be crucified over and over. But they have a Jesus. They have priests. They have, I mean, come on, they have the nicest buildings in all the world. It's got to be blessed by God, right? I mean, that's what they would have you think. They have all the, if you've ever been to a Catholic church and just seen how they do all the things, everything is very orderly. Everything is done very well from a religious standpoint and an orderly standpoint, but that doesn't mean it's right, does it? In fact, as far from the truth as it possibly be, but man, they have an appearance of being godly, but they're as far away as they could possibly be from being godly. So it's just like the devil to take something that God ordains, to mess with it, but to make people think that they're following the Lord when they follow it. And again, I think that's probably the classic in the devil using a religion that appears to be so much like genuine Christianity, but it's not. Follow me on that? I tell you, I've been to, anybody been to a Catholic funeral? Very interesting. The priest puts this garb on that he doesn't normally wear. Looks like a dress. He takes this golden censer that has smoke coming out of it, and he walks around the casket, and I can't remember what exactly. Hey, Pastor, you got any idea what that's supposed to do? Some kind of blessing on the... Yeah. But think about this. You've got a priest. He's got this garb on. Well, did you know that the priests in the Old Testament had a certain, they had certain garments they had to wear whenever they were executing the office of the priesthood? And they also offered incense. There's an altar of incense in the tabernacle. So you see, it's got all these things that are what the Bible says, but it's not. It's a corruption of what you have in the Old Testament with the priesthood from Levi. Okay, so how about one more? False priests. Go to Acts chapter 14. Here's one in the New Testament. Acts chapter 14. The false priest. This will be the last one we'll look at today. On this one, Acts 14, look at verse 13. Actually, back up here, get a little what's going on here. This is Paul, and you know, every time he just started preaching, for some reason people got mad. Sometimes that happens whenever you preach the gospel, huh? And if you look, get a little idea here. Look at verse 9. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. This is a fellow that's crippled. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. So there's a miracle performed by Paul. Look at verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods, notice the little g, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Isn't that strange how men perceive things to be one way and they're not right? Who do they give glory to? They give glory to men instead of giving glory to God. So look at verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then look at verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein. So what priest do you have there in that section? The priest of Jupiter. This kind of goes along with our study of things beyond, outer space. Interesting that they name their priest after one of the names of our planets. And if you look at the names of the planets, they have all kinds of connections with the gods of mythology. If you ever studied that in school, they got all kinds of things connected there. So we've got a line of priests that are not anything what they should be. It's a corruption of what God set in place with the line of Aaron. Okay, so we started with Melchizedek, and then the tribe of Levi, or Aaron, and then we got this false priesthood. So stay away from this one altogether. This is corrupt. It's all messed up. I told you there's a problem with this one. Even though God is the one that set it up, it did serve a purpose for a while, but it no longer serves a purpose today. Now, you don't want to miss this, because if you think this still serves some kind of purpose, you could be confused and think that there's something to the false priesthood, particularly of Catholicism. So let's go back to what's wrong with this one and why we're going to actually bring back something connected with the first one, Melchizedek. So go back to Hebrews. And let's go to Hebrews. Go to chapter 7 again. Chapter 7. Now, before I get into this, you want to remember something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was from what tribe of Israel? Anybody? Revelation 5, Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, speaking of Jesus Christ. Problem, who was the God-ordained tribe to be the priest in the Old Testament? Jesus Christ is not from the tribe of Levi. So will there be a problem with him being a priest? What do you say? Nobody wants to say it? Let's solve the problem ourselves. Let's look at the Bible do it. All right, verse 11. Go down to Hebrews 7. Go down to verse 11. Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of who? Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron. Okay, now, folks, we're in the New Testament here. There's something about this order, this line of Melchizedek, that you and I need to know today. Just something about verse 11. It says in verse 11, the beginning, that if perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, you wouldn't need anything else, right? But what was the problem with this one right here? The priests themselves were sinners. So let's go on here. Verse 12. For the priesthood being what? Changed. There is made of necessity a change also of the law. Okay, you need to know why we no longer offer sacrifices like the Old Testament and why there's no need for an earthly priest from some religion. You need to know why. So let's let the Bible tell us why. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Now watch verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of what tribe? Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Okay, so let's stop. We kind of have a problem, but not really. This is not the tribe of priests. God made Levi the tribe of priests. But Jesus Christ is from the tribe of Judah. Yet, you're going to find out in a minute that Jesus Christ is, if you didn't know this, you ought to know this, He is today. Capital H, capital P, He is your high priest. So you actually do today, in the time we live in today, you need the high priest. But you don't need a priest from this tribe. You obviously don't need a priest from the false line. You need a priest from the right line, the right order. And guess which order that is? It's not Levi. It is Melchizedek. You say, what? What is this? Let's keep going here. Verse, where are we at? 14, 15. And it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Verse 16, who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. That's a quote from Psalm 110, verse 4. Verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. So notice what it says there, weakness and unprofitable. This tribe today, weak, unprofitable. This tribe right here, animal sacrifices do nothing to take away anybody's sins today. But there was a time when this was the means, correct? That is no longer the means, and look why that's the case. Look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Think about that statement right there. How come the law made nothing perfect? When man tried to keep the law, what happened? He failed every single time. So that law, there's a problem with the law of God. Now, there's no problem with God and Him giving His law, but there's a problem when it comes to man trying to keep it. When man tries to keep it, what does he find? Every time. He can't keep it. Have you ever read the Ten Commandments? How do you do whenever you read the Ten Commandments? How do you measure up when you read the Ten Commandments? How about number one? What's number one? What's commandment number one, somebody? Help me out. Thou shalt have no other gods before the one true God. How are you doing with that one? How'd you do with that one yesterday? How about Friday, Thursday? How'd you do with that one? You didn't put anything else before God in the last 3 days, did you? You kept God number one all day long, didn't you? You'd love to say you did, but you'd be lying. Come on. So when you measure yourself by the Old Testament law, you fail every time. You cannot keep the law. There's a problem there. So you know what you need if you can't keep God's law? You need somebody to forgive you of your... What's the word no preacher wants to say today, but he better say it? Sin! You need to be cleansed of your sin. I'm getting into the morning message here, but we need cleansing because we cannot keep God's law. This was the means in the Old Testament. It is no longer the case. So let's see what happened as a result. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. So watch, he's going to go back and forth talking about the Old Testament priest and then the one true high priest today. Look at verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What priest are we talking about? Verse 22. By so much was who? Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Hey, real quick, what happened to this guy? He died. What happened to his sons? They died. What happened to their sons? They died. How come people die? The wages of sin is death. There's a problem with these guys because they're all sinners. But look at Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, this is all speaking of Jesus Christ here. Watch what it says, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by who? By him, that's by Jesus Christ. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Okay? Holy or unholy? Harmless or not harmless? This guy's harmless right here, right? I mean, this guy, Jesus Christ is harmless. This guy is harmful. There we go. Defiled or undefiled? Defiled. Separate from sinners or a sinner? A sinner. Higher than the heavens or lower than the heavens? Come on now. This priesthood cannot measure up to Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Who's that talking about there? For this he did once when he offered up himself. Who's that going to be? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So, go on to chapter 8. There's just so much in this book of Hebrews about Jesus Christ and the high priest. Verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Who's that? That's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your high priest. If you didn't know that, you need to know that. Look what else it says in verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And it just goes on and on there about Jesus Christ being our high priest. So, if you didn't know this, obviously this line right here, there's something very, very important about it. It's the line that, guess who, comes from? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's a line than this line because this one has a bunch of sinners in it. Now, you're probably wondering yourself, well, who is this guy? That is for you to do your own little study on. This is one of the most, if not the most mysterious guy in the Bible. I just know this. Melchizedek. The priesthood of Melchizedek is better than this priesthood. And who comes from this line of Melchizedek? The Lord Jesus Christ. So, know that Jesus Christ comes from that line, and you do not need to know. Go to the confessional booth and confess your sins to any man. But you do need to do something when it comes to confession. You need to take your sins to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can, in an instant, forgive you of all your sins. From all unrighteousness. And this is the morning message this morning. We're going to talk about being clean. But there's only one priest that you need, and it's the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why this is important, you may think, man, that's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. Why is this important? Today, the ministry of Jesus Christ is to intercede on my behalf and yours. He takes things from me to God the Father. What does John 14 say? He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by him through Jesus Christ. His job today, his main ministry right now, is high priest. Hopefully, change, because what's he coming back to do to earth one day? King. Hey, what was this way over there in the old time? Both a king and he was a priest. What is Jesus Christ? Same thing. King and priest. So, a whole lot about that. Got your wheels turning about this fella. More importantly, hope that got you to be thankful that you have a high priest and you need a high priest. So, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these things that you've shown us here today. And know that there's a priest that we need other than Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there's anybody that's listening here that's not real sure about all this, I pray that they would search it out even more and understand the power in Jesus Christ, His saving power and the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, and how He will save anybody to the uttermost that will believe on Him. And I pray for this time here where we have opportunity to worship You and hear from You some more. May our hearts be in tune with You and Your Word today, all day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.